James chapter 3, let me give you a couple thoughts tonight from this passage of scripture. And let's hold our place, if we could, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we'll look in both places. First of all, in James chapter 3, and we'll look, we'll have you seated. We're dealing with words of wisdom. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Words of wisdom. Dealing with this portion of scripture in James chapter 3, we are continuing our discussion on spiritual maturity, growing up, and how spiritual maturity reflects itself not only in our battles, not only with our Bible, but spiritual maturity goes beyond just our battles and our Bible and our beliefs, but it affects our behavior. If you agree with that, would you say amen? When you grow up in the Lord, you ought to act different. You ought to live different. And we spoke in the first portion of this chapter about the tongue. You're growing up in the Lord. The Lord is giving you the ability. Notice, the Lord is giving you the ability to bridle your tongue. And you cannot do that outside of the Lord. So he goes beyond there in the second part of chapter number 3 to deal with this issue of wisdom. How many of you admit that everybody needs wisdom? Would you say amen? Whether you're just parenting or whether you're counseling at school or whether you're a young person that's trying to move your way through this wicked society, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're older, whether you're younger, we all need wisdom. I'm not just talking about knowledge. I'm not just talking about information. I'm not just talking about intellect. I'm not just talking about having a bunch of degrees. I'm talking about wisdom, the biblical ability to take knowledge and rightly apply it to make right decisions. We need it. The eager search in this portion of scripture is James asking, who is he? Where is he? Where are the wise people? And then he goes on to explain, we'll know they're wise. They will indicate their distinct character by their divine comprehension and their demonstrative conduct. In other words, they'll be wise and they'll prove they're wise by living right. Now wait a minute. Here's what he's saying. Your wisdom is a heart issue. It comes from God. And when God sends it to your heart, it comes out in your life. Listen to Solomon to his son. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Great verse in the 27th chapter, I believe, in the book of Proverbs. As in water, face answereth to face. I want you to picture standing in front of a body of water. There's a face in the water, and there's a face looking at the water. The water can't reflect a face unless there's a face in front of it. Everybody understand that? Water's not going to send off a picture of a face that's not in front of it. Water is a reflection. It's reflecting something. The face in front of it is the face that it reflects. It's like a mirror. In other words, you can't get mad at the picture on the water if you're the picture that's facing the water. You can't punch a mirror and say, make me look better. You are what you are. So the heart of man to man, here's what the proverb is saying. The same way that the reflection in front of the water is exactly what it is on the water, you are what your heart is. Your heart will reflect who you are. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we need wisdom, because wisdom is not something that comes from man. We'll see in a few moments, as we saw last week. But wisdom is something that comes from God, and it shows up in our heart. So we see this eager search. He talked to us last week, and we spoke about this earthly substance. We talked about this worldly wisdom. It's not the same as heavenly wisdom. Now, you got your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go back there and look quickly. And see the very clear distinction that God gives us between the two. Verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. What? Come on, talk to me. For the foolishness of the cross is to them that perish. What? Foolishness. Whether or not you're saved has a lot to do with how you view things. Amen. And you don't have to look far to prove that point to be true, because you know when the Holy Ghost came and lived inside of you, quickening your dead spirit into an alive spirit, there's a whole lot of stuff you see through the eyes of God today that you never could see before, you guys say. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Verse 21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Continue, Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Listen, these are the brightest and the most gifted individuals known to mankind. These Jews were religious. These Greeks were very intelligent. The Jews were looking for a miracle. The Greeks were looking for some kind of wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Somebody say amen. We'll never get the world to see things the way we see them. Chapter 3 of Corinthians tells us the carnal man cannot discern spiritual things because they're spiritual, spiritually discerned. There is no substitute for the discernment of the Holy Spirit of God. None at all. James says this earthly substance, go back to James if you would, chapter 3 very quickly. He says, and because you have that earthly stuff, he said, let me tell you what comes with it. Verse 14, a disgruntled spirit. What do you mean? I mean you got this bitter root, this belligerent reasoning, this boastful ridiculousness, and this blind rationalization. Notice verse 14, if you have bitter and envying strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Let me tell you something. You can be the smartest man on the planet, but if the stuff that you have came from the world, it will carry with it brains that'll get you high scores in college, but bitterness that will destroy your life. It's worldly wisdom. It's got a devilish source. It's not from above. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. secular philosophy and sensual, if you would, passions. We spoke last week that the world stuff doesn't bring with it a spiritual flavor. It brings with it a sensual one. Somebody say amen. Listen, the last place sensuality should be displayed is in the church house. I need the rest of you to say amen to that. People don't come to church looking for sensuality. They shouldn't.
That's right.
But too many times they find it there. Amen. You can be ranked number one in the world, and you may not even rank in God's kingdom. Because the wisdom of the world is sensual. Amen. That's why just because it's a great commercial doesn't mean it's something great for you to watch. Come on. Just because it ranked one on the charts in Hollywood and the critics said it's a great movie doesn't mean your spiritual eyes should be looking at it. Amen. Just because everybody says it doesn't mean you should be saying it. And just because everybody's doing it shouldn't mean you're doing well. I mean, the world says, and by the way, you better be careful where you get your counseling from. Amen. Well, he's certified, she's certified. Certified in what? Amen. The best education is education in the best things. And you can't teach me the best education if you have learned from the best curriculum. Somebody say amen. And there is no better curriculum than the B-I-B-L-E. Devilish source. Notice the disorderly scene. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Ladies and gentlemen, when secular, earthly wisdom is employed, and bitterness and strife take root, James says, guess what comes? Confusion. Now, Paul said, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's not the author of confusion. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We expect the world to be confused. The sad part about it is it seems like the people of God are confused. And we're confused. Watch this now. We're confused because we are trying to do the work of God a worldly way. Do you realize that you can leave this building and on Monday through Friday be the best, brightest, bravest, and boldest person on the workforce where you are employed? But you can't bring some of that same stuff that got you up the ladder out there, up in here, and expect it to work if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And we got to be careful. I talk to people all the time, and the worse the world gets, the more square you seem if you're a Christian. So you start bringing up these biblical principles, and they go, you believe that? What was it? You still do that? You can't be telling me you stand for that. Now listen to me, folks. There was a day when that wasn't that square. Amen. That's why you espouse to it. But now that that has become square, the people of God are starting to think, since Christianity doesn't make sense to the world, let's borrow their philosophy, try to use it in the work of God. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. They are wisdoms from two different planets. I think it's one of the biggest dangers that we have to be wary of in the last days. Because the devil loves to take a little bit of their stuff and mix it with a little bit of our stuff and call it okay because it ain't as bad as all of their stuff. Could I tell you something about the word of God and the work of God? It's all of his stuff or it ain't his stuff. Somebody say amen. Now we're going to see very quickly. Let me give you a couple thoughts. I'll let you go home. We're going to see very quickly that there's a difference between earthly substance and an eternal supply. We're talking about the wisdom. Notice if you want the divine citizenship of heavenly wisdom. The wisdom that is from above. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way we can last for God down here is if he gives us something from up there. I tell you why I love heavenly wisdom. Because it has a divine citizenship. What do you mean? I know where it's from. Amen. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about it this morning. Anointing from God is from above. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, don't ever let the demonstration of anointing cause you to try to perform a duplication of anointing. Did you miss that? I mean, demonstration should not move you to duplication. Amen. See, if you see anointing demonstrated by a child of God, don't let their demonstration move you to duplication. Let them mirror in you some more dedication. Amen. I'm simply saying, if you see someone with the touch of God on them, don't get up there and try to imitate what they did. Try to walk with the God with whom they walk. So watch this now. Would you agree that spiritual anointing and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God is something that God does today? So here's what worldly wisdom says. I like that. You remember in the book of Acts? And the hand of God was on the apostle? And the sons of Sceva said, we like that. Boy, they casting out devils. We can cast out devils. So they saw a demonstration of God and they tried to do a duplication in the flesh. And they went casting out the devils. And the devils said to them, Jesus we know. And Paul we know. But who are you? See, that's the danger of trying to take on in the flesh what somebody accomplished in the spirit. You're no match for the devil without the Spirit of God. Amen. But there's good news. The devil ain't no match for you with the Spirit of God. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen to me. The devil can't beat us. The world has wisdom from here. God has wisdom from there. The divine citizenship. Let me give you one more thought about wisdom. And that is the distinct characteristics. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. I just want to look at three of them very quickly. Pure, peaceable, and gentle. Well, Pastor, I just employed some wisdom. And I thank the Lord that he helped me do it. Well, be careful. God doesn't want credit for stuff he doesn't do. Well, Pastor, how do I know if the wisdom that I employed was from God or whether it was from the world? Test number one, was it pure? You never got something from God that was dirty. I don't care if it worked. I don't care if it passed inspection. I don't care if it got you further ahead. I don't care if everybody said, I wish I had thought about it. It didn't come from God if it's defiled. That's what the word pure means. Undefiled. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This world is full of defilement. Look at the next one. Peaceable. All right? It's great when God outlines scripture for us. Pure, peaceable. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever known a Christian that loved to fight?
I'm not talking about with fists. I'm just talking about seem to enjoy conflict. Dissension. By the way, you know what you learn about some Christians? They don't like to fight, but they like starting them. They're never there when somebody's nose get busted, but somehow they stirred it up. Let me tell you something. As much as we as Christians have an obligation to God to stand on the truth of the Word of God, wisdom enables us to be peaceable. Amen. 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 I mean, we as Christians shouldn't be starting them. We should be breaking them up. Amen. We should be creating friction. Amen. We should be sowing seeds of peace. Where, listen to me. There's a flare of Christianity that exists today in 2017 as if the uglier you are to people, the more biblical you are. That's not Bible. Did anybody ever grace planet Earth that was more holy than Jesus? Did anybody else ever walk the earth that was sinless? Did anybody else ever get tempted at all points yet without sin? Yet he was the most peaceful person to ever walk planet Earth. God help us. You know, you're going to go tomorrow somewhere, and somebody's going to get on your nerve. How many of you say every day somebody gets on my nerve? And we're all going to make some decisions, not whether somebody gets on our nerves, whether or not God gives us the wisdom we need to respond peaceably. Now, watch this now. A whole bunch of us in this room are saved by the grace of God, but in a biological family with people that aren't saved. And how many of you know your blood relatives who are lost will try your peaceability better than anybody? And you know, here's what James says. When you grow up in the Lord, you know what you learn? Not every hill is worth dying on. Boy, the more I grow in the Lord, you know, I find out. Now, God is never a proponent of compromise. You know, if we're not careful, we'll be fighting and ready to kill somebody over something. And we'll be more concerned over killing them over a little issue than we are over leading them to the Lord. He said there ought to be a peaceable nature about us. God, give us some Christian people who can walk up on a situation and diffuse some conflict and settle down some spirit. And by the way, amongst ourselves, there ought to be a spirit of wisdom and discernment that says, I could take this to the next level and let this blow up and be a big conflict. But for the sake of Christ and the glory of God, let me have some peace about it. One more. Pure, peaceable. And here's one where sometimes we struggle with. Look at James chapter 3. Gentle. Sometimes we're just harsh, aren't we? Well, I told him the truth. But how'd you tell it? Pure, peaceable. Watch this now. Pleasant. You believe the Bible? Say amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Say amen. Amen. You hate the devil? Say amen. Amen. Are you gentle? Wait a minute now. Anybody ever grace planet Earth holier than Jesus? When we mess up, aren't you glad he's gentle? Amen. See, it takes wisdom. Because according to the Word of God, gentleness is not just something you have. It's something that God enables you to know how to use. See, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, the potential for gentleness is in all of us. The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The problem is we borrow the world's wisdom. Well, no, listen, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Yeah. Who said that pleases God? We better be careful.
We're living in the last days, and I'm telling you, if we keep getting our marching orders and our coaching off the sidelines from the world, we're going to end up in a wreck. Don't you let them tell you they're going to advise you from a secular system on how to be a good Christian. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to teach us about music. They're not going to teach us about the Word of God. They're not going to instruct us about marriage. They're not going to teach us about raising our children. Amen. You not listen to me. The world ain't going to help. They cannot discern spiritual things, and we don't need to be asking them questions that they don't know how to answer. Purity, peaceable, and pleasantness. These are pleasantness. These are all things that are produced in heaven. And when you and I find ourselves borrowing from the world, remember, it always results in bitterness, belligerence, amen, backbiting, all of the things that break up instead of bring together. You know what I found out about lost people? That if you will teach them the truth and stand on the principles of the Word of God in a right way, they might just come back later and tell you after they cussed, they thought about you. But if when they respond in disgruntlement, you reject the wisdom of God. And by the way, read Proverbs chapter 1, where wisdom is described as a woman going into the marketplace, crying out to people to accept her. And they all gave wisdom the hand. They ignored wisdom. And the end of the chapter tells us that because they ignored wisdom when she called them, later in life when they call her, she will ignore them. You can't be on the receiving end of wisdom on a regular basis and ignore it, and then decide when you really need it bad to expect wisdom to pick up a phone you wouldn't pick up. And it's amazing. We've got something that the world doesn't have. To them, it's foolishness, but it's amazing. The moment you get saved, that which you used to think was foolish becomes wise, and that which you used to think was wise becomes foolish. I don't know about you. I like the heavenly stuff a whole lot better than I like the earthly stuff. May God help us. Father, the word is sobering. Because there's so much that's being taught out there that the world says, oh, this is great stuff. This is exactly what you need. And the word says, that's foolish. And the word says, this is great stuff. This is exactly what you need. And the world says, that's foolish. Thank you, God, for not only telling us what we need, but telling us the difference in how worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom look to us. Help us, God, to receive what you have for us and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together.